Today is Monday, June 22nd, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Democrats and Republicans are set to take votes on police reform in the U.S. Congress this week.
We may see Democrats and Republicans come to some sort of deal on very ambitious legislation.
Plus, the European Union and China meet today to discuss trade and the ongoing situation in Hong Kong.
EU-China relationship, mainly the economic aspect.
And increasing numbers of COVID-19 force an Australian state to extend a state of emergency. Those stories and more are next. A New York City police officer was suspended without pay Sunday after he was recorded putting his arm around a black man's neck in what the police commissioner called an apparent chokehold.
Yo, stop choking him, bro! Yo, stop choking him! Yo, he's choking him! Let him go, bro! Let him go!
The department's action to suspend the officer was noted for its swiftness, occurring just hours after the morning confrontation on a beach boardwalk. The Democrat-led United States House of Representatives and the Republican-led Senate are set to take key votes this week on reforms to the nation's police system. The two chambers agree on several major proposals, but are not entirely in agreement on what should change. And to learn more about what's coming, I spoke with VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson.
Well, this week we're seeing something that's actually a little bit unusual in a summer before a presidential election. We may see Democrats and Republicans come to some sort of deal on very ambitious legislation that addresses concerns protested about in the streets in the past few weeks in the United States. And that's really unusual when all of these lawmakers, all of them in the U.S. House and a third of them in the U.S. Senate, are all running for re-election. Many of them in very tough races. Many of them have to thread the needle, explaining to their constituents about the decisions they make in Washington. They really have to go out on a limb here and actually deal with each other, make some compromises, and actually get this through and get passed and sent to the president.
Speaking of being sent to the president, one of the things that may be included in the Democratic legislation is the doing away with of qualified immunity for police officers. And the White House has said that is a no-go, something that the president will not sign. How is that playing out in the Republican-controlled Senate?
Well, obviously, what the Republicans will do is support what the president says. Mitch McConnell has always said, look, I'm here to pass legislation that will actually get signed by the president. McConnell has no interest in passing something that's just going to go and die over at the White House. So he's going to support what the president is saying and the signals that the president is sending. Of course, then you have to figure in the Democratic-controlled U.S. House of Representatives into all of this. Any procedure proposal has to pass through them, and they're saying that qualified immunity is one of the big issues that they need to pass, that they have to have in any bill of their own. So really, they're going to have to come to a compromise on this very big issue that has really protected police officers for many years, a really important doctrine that's really at the heart of some of the issues that people are out protesting in the streets about. That's going to be a really tough negotiation.
What kind of timeline are we looking at this week for when both houses are set to unveil their proposals?
Sure. So we know for certain that the Democratic-controlled U.S. House will be voting on their police reform bill on Thursday. When we get over to the U.S. Senate, it's a little bit trickier because Senate Democrats theoretically would be able to block the Republicans' bill from coming up for consideration. If they feel like Republicans aren't coming to the negotiating table, they could block it straight up. Now, it looks like there is some movement and that they are willing to go to a floor debate with Republicans on that issue. If that does indeed happen, that would be this Wednesday. But taking a step back and looking at this whole issue overall, everybody is running out of time to get this done.
Catherine Gibson is VOA's congressional correspondent. Sunday was the 24th World Peace and Prayer Day. It's an annual tradition that Sioux Indian leaders Chief Arval Looking Horse and his wife Paula Looking Horse instituted as a day for prayer for peace among peoples and the healing of the planet, of which they call Mother Earth. As VOA's Adam Phillips reports, its message is relevant to many of today's challenges, including the Black Lives Matter movement and climate change.
Chief Arvo Looking Horse is the spiritual leader of the three largest groups within the Great Sioux Nation in the United States. Speaking via Zoom from his home on the Cheyenne River Indian Reservation in the south central state of South Dakota, he outlines what leadership means to him.
In our tradition, a leader has to think about the people. That means respect the past and the teachings, the prophecies, and then we be a voice for the future. A leader like myself cannot use foul language. When you speak from the heart. In our life and in our prayers, it's all about peace. Walakota.
Like many Native Americans of his generation, Chief Arvo went to a small school where he learned about the white man's government and laws. He says certain lessons in particular stayed with him.
It says that we honor all treaties. We honor the Constitution. And it says that every human being is equal.
But Paula Looking Horse, his wife, says she and he were almost never treated as equals by whites. She remembers the racist stereotypes she learned at school.
You know, I grew up the only Native person in class. And kids at a young age, they're not racist. It wasn't until history was introduced and all of a sudden I was a savage. And I think that's when it really opened my eyes how people can just be taught in school with curriculum how to hate.
Such experiences set Paula on a life mission to promote both Native American spirituality and universal self-esteem. For her, today's Black Lives Matter movement is fueled by the same struggle for dignity and pride.
This revolt is a lot of sadness and a lot of hope that things can change. I think that a lot of people pull themselves out of that disease of the mind in their own ways and appreciated each other and looked at each other, and that's the main thing. But for us, it's people finding who they are.
Paula believes human identity runs far deeper than the color of skin. She says we're the two-legged the Creator has made.
And with responsibilities, that's what our work is about, is finding a responsibility to one another, to finding who we are, and teaching our kids that we can change this world by praying from your heart. That's your gut feeling. That's your umbilical cord. And if people pray from that center, and it purifies your heart and it goes up the top to the universe.
That view is what underlies World Peace and Prayer Day. For many of the 24 years it's been held, the couple traveled to world sacred sites to pray with local indigenous peoples. Paula says praying together at those sites provides spiritual nourishment the way a physical umbilical cord provides food.
And that's our work with World Peace and Prayer Day, is to activate your own umbilical cord, your own lifeline to your mother, to your grandmother, to your grandmother, to your grandmother, to your grand, all the way back to the beginning of time. And it's our responsibility to teach the future generations the right way to heal what we have left of Grandmother Earth, Mother Earth.
Chief Arvel says today's crises were prophesied in a dream by the legendary 19th century Lakota warrior chief Crazy Horse.
That's when tears came into his eyes. And I said, so terrible how sick this world came to be. Then he said, at the end, I saw all nations standing under the sacred tree.
Chief Looking Horse and other Native elders say humanity is at a crossroads. Either we will be standing under the sacred tree together, or
be faced with a lot of chaos, sicknesses, viruses, earthquakes, and volcanoes where it never happened before. We're going to see false leaders. They're not be there for the people. It's all about money. But we must stay in peace with the prayer. All nations, all faiths, one prayer.
Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, World Peace and Prayer Day will be celebrated virtually this year. Chief Arvo Looking Horse and Paula Looking Horse suggest that one way to participate is to light a candle and pray for world peace and healing with loved ones. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.
The World Health Organization on Sunday reported a global jump of 183,000 new confirmed COVID-19 cases, the largest single-day increase recorded since the pandemic began. WHO officials have said for several weeks The focus of the outbreak is in the Americas, and Sunday's numbers showed the one-day rise of more than 116,000 cases in that region alone. A Johns Hopkins University COVID-19 tracker shows nearly 9 million confirmed cases of the novel coronavirus worldwide. And increasing numbers of cases of COVID-19 have forced the Australian state of Victoria to bring back tougher restrictions on Monday. New infections over the past 2 days have been at their highest in 2 months. And a state of emergency has also been extended. Phil Mercer has the details.
Most of Victoria's new coronavirus cases are linked to clusters, often within extended families. Other larger groups of infections have been detected at two hotels in the city of Melbourne. Community transmission of the virus, rather than those infections acquired overseas by citizens who then returned home, is of great concern to health officials. They're advising Australians to stay away from six COVID-19 hotspots in the Victorian state capital, while residents are being urged to remain at home. Authorities want to set up so-called rings of containment around localised outbreaks. In neighbouring New South Wales, officials are recommending citizens reconsider travel to Melbourne. Various lockdown measures have gradually been eased across Australia in recent weeks, but officials in Victoria are blaming complacency for a spike in cases. Limits on indoor and outdoor gatherings have now been reintroduced. Victoria State Premier Daniel Andrews says the community still needs to be vigilant.
It is unacceptable that families anywhere in our state can, just because they want this to be over, pretend that it is. It is not over. We have even had people who have tested positive and have been told to go home and isolate, and instead they have gone to work.
Police officers are to step up their enforcement of the restrictions on group gatherings, particularly in Melbourne. Checks will also increase on people who've been told to self-isolate because they tested positive for the disease or were a close contact of someone who had. A positive test also prompted the cancellation of an Australian rules football match in Melbourne following the recent resumption of games. Australia has recorded just over 7,400 coronavirus cases. Most patients have recovered, but 102 people have died. The country's international borders were closed to foreign nationals in March. Widespread testing and contact tracing have helped Australia mostly contain the virus, but strict lockdown measures have inflicted great damage to the economy. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
And coming up later...
I think China is slowly going back to the Mao Zedong's era. You know, control is more draconian. And I think Xi is the most absolute dictator of human history.
This is VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
In 2018, a pair of astronomers discovered that an asteroid sharing Jupiter's solar orbit, but doing so in the opposite direction, was not originally a part of our solar system. Elena Mordice of the Sao Paulo State University and Fatih Namouni from the French National Center for Scientific Research determined the asteroid formed around another star, which billions of years ago resided in the same cluster as our sun. The scientists suggested that the relatively closeness of the star at the time, along with their and their planet's gravitational forces, allowed for the exchange of asteroids from each other's systems. In a new study published in the monthly notices of the Royal Astronomical Society, the two astronomers have identified a population of 19 asteroids with interstellar origins, orbiting the sun between our solar system's giant planets. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's International Edition continues. I'm Steve Miller. Top European officials held talks with Chinese President Xi Jinping and Premier Li Keqiang, aiming to boost economic ties and ease tensions over the fallout from the coronavirus crisis and Beijing's crackdown on Hong Kong. Earlier today, I spoke with Nicolas Pineau via WhatsApp in Paris. to get the details.
Well, Charles Michel, the European Council president, talked about, and I quote, open discussion and very substantive. According to him, they talked about topics that they agree and topics they disagree on. You had four main important areas. They talk about the economic consequences and the recovery after the COVID-19 pandemic. They also talk about the EU-China relationship, mainly the economic aspect. They also, and he said he was clearly adamant about that, they also talk about the situation of Hong Kong and the human rights. And also, finally, the fourth point that they address during this video conference, they talk about, you know, international issues.
So regarding Hong Kong, because as you mentioned, they said that this was clearly a violation of the handover protocols.
Well, Charles Michel said the EU expressed great concern after there is this proposed law for national security. He says EU wants to defend Hong Kong high autonomy and relative freedom. But he said, and I quote, of course, we support the concept of one country, two systems. So according to him, the European Union is not going to back down on this issue. And you have also, we have to remember that China's parliament was very angry last weekend when there was an EU assembly vote containing the security law. And we know that Washington has expressed a lot of frustration with the European position, because according to the US administration, EU is not tough enough on China. And so, I mean, they really wanted to address that, because according to them, that's something that's very important for the European Union.
Nico, trade was the other big topic there. So what can you tell us about what was decided?
Well, he says that Charles Michel said it's very important to have this dynamic trade relation with China. Because, for example, China is the first trading partner of the EU. You have a 1 billion exchange by the two blocks per day, which is, of course, very important. But Charles Michel mentioned that first they need to address and solve concrete issues such as access to markets, subsidies and regulatory, and also forced technology transfer. And we also need to mention that two blocks, China and European Union, they've been talking about a big EU trade since 2014. So it's been 6 years, and so far you don't have this final agreement.
Nicolas Pinault is a journalist living in Paris, France. Jimmy Lai is a prominent pro-democracy figure and the founder of Hong Kong's best-selling newspaper, The Apple Daily. He tells VOA that the prospect of going to jail has never felt so real. Lai faces 7 charges, including organizing and participating in unauthorized assemblies and inciting others to take part in unauthorized assemblies. In recent months, China has tightened its control of Hong Kong, which has been roiled by a year-long, sometimes violent anti-government movement that Beijing said was mobilized by foreign hostile forces. Lai says Beijing implementing a new national security law is a total disrespect for the law.
So you know that they don't care about law at all. So if they don't respect law, there's nothing for me to expect what to come. You know, anything they want out of expedience will be the right thing for them to do. So, you know, it's difficult for me to, you know, to anticipate what's going to happen. Well, whatever comes, we will fight on, and the media will have to go on until that we can't go on anymore.
And while Lai says China has progressed a lot, he believes since President Xi Jinping's ascendance to power in 2012, it's reversing course.
I think China is slowly going back to the Mao Zedong's era. You know, control is more draconian, and I think Xi is the most absolute dictator of human history.
The arrests of 15 veteran pro-democracy activists, including Lai, and the proclamation of China's representative offices in Hong Kong, that it is not bound by a clause in the city's mini-constitution, also known as the Basic Law, to stay out of local affairs has caused widespread concern. But nothing prepared people for China's unexpected announcement in late May that it would impose a national security law in Hong Kong to tackle what it calls secession, subversion, terrorism, and foreign interference. China's official Xinhua news agency says under the law, a new national security commission supervised by the Chinese government will be established in Hong Kong, and Chinese security agents will be stationed in the city to deal directly with some cases there. Nuclear weapons talks between the United States and Russia started in Vienna Monday, with the two countries' envoys making only guarded comments shortly before they met. Little has been said officially about the arms control negotiations, but the U.S. envoy has made clear they will be about nuclear weapons, suggesting they will include replacing the new Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, which expires in February. The new START treaty imposes the last remaining limits on U.S. and Russian deployments of strategic nuclear arms to no more than 1,550 each. It can be extended for up to 5 years if both sides agree. The British town of Reading is mourning on Monday for the three victims killed in a summer evening attack, which is being treated as a terror attack. Police say a 25-year-old man believed to be the lone attacker was in custody, but officials said the motive for the carnage on Saturday was unclear. Three people were killed and three others seriously wounded in the stabbing attack Saturday in Forbury Gardens Park in Reading, a town west of London. The dead include a British teacher and his American friend. The third victim's name has not been released. China said on Monday it reserves the right to respond to a Japanese city's decision to rename the administrative area that includes remote islands both China and Japan claim, which have long been a source of friction between the two neighbors. The dispute over the uninhabited East China Sea islets may add to recent tension caused by Japan's criticisms of Beijing's plan to impose a new national security law in Hong Kong. Beijing has said Japan should not interfere in China's internal affairs. The disputed islands are known as the Senkaku in Japan and the Diaoyu in China. A leading Democratic lawmaker says U.S. Attorney General William Barr deserves to be impeached over the firing of a federal prosecutor whose office had been investigating U.S. President Donald Trump's personal lawyer, but that the effort would be a waste of time. Reuters' Gavino Garay has more.
The head of the House Judiciary Committee, Gerald Nadler, said on Sunday that while U.S. Attorney General William Barr deserves to be impeached over the firing of a federal prosecutor whose office had investigated President Donald Trump's lawyer, the effort would be, quote, a waste of time. In an interview on the CNN program State of the Union, the top Democrat said the Republican-led Senate would block any such effort, but added that, quote, we have other ways of getting at this. Nadler said his panel would investigate Trump's firing of prosecutor Jeffrey Berman on Saturday after an extraordinary standoff over the independence of one of the country's most important federal prosecutors' offices. The U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York has not shied away from taking on figures in Trump's orbit. Since he was appointed in January 2018, Berman's office oversaw the prosecution of Michael Cohen, Trump's former personal lawyer, indicted two associates of Rudy Giuliani, and launched a probe into Giuliani in connection with his efforts to dig up dirt on Trump's political adversaries in Ukraine. The dispute with Berman began late Friday when Barr announced Berman was stepping down and would be replaced by U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Jay Clayton. Berman refused to step down until the Senate confirmed his successor and said his office's investigations would continue. Only after Barr backtracked from his plan to handpick the acting U.S. attorney, allowing Berman's deputy Audrey Strauss to take the reins, did Berman agree to step down on Saturday. Nadler said he asked Berman to testify in the Judiciary Committee's investigation of political interference at the Justice Department. The panel is holding a hearing on Wednesday with whistleblowers from the department. Nadler did not know if Berman would be there that day, but said, quote, I'm sure he will testify.
Gavino Garay reports for Reuters News. You've been listening to International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of our entire production team, thank you very much for listening. Be sure to visit our website for in-depth coverage of world events and news 24 hours a day. You can do so by visiting voanews.com. Until next time, I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Be well, be safe, and good night.